And good morning. The time is 7:06. I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. It's Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wednesday morning, October the 4th of 2023, a hump day Wednesday. We are heading downhill towards the weekend. Coming up, we will have a complete look at your midweek to late week forecast with Weatherology's Jennifer Vucicki. Why did my mind freeze up there for a moment? Because the thing about it is Jennifer comes here with Pat each and every morning at about 7:15. And then during my program as well, I have Jennifer on a little bit after 9 o'clock at 9:06. And somehow my mind just froze up. It's still early for me, but Jennifer Vucicki coming in at about 7:15 this morning. And then just after the bottom of the hour, we will have Todd Alba. Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show on Civic Media from 1 until 3 p.m. each and every weekday. He'll be the guest host of this program coming up tomorrow and Friday before Pat returns next Monday. And we'll talk about the goings-on in Washington. And I want to talk a little bit about government itself, because I know that in listening to Todd and talking to Todd over the past year, that he, like me, does feel like things need to get done, that people need to work together, that government needs to work within our system or else we could be lost. So I want to talk about the news of the day and also maybe a little bit bigger picture with Todd Alba coming up at about 7:33 this morning. As I said, it is the fourth day of October. Some famous events have been held or have occurred on this date in history. Back in 1895, that is 128 years ago, the first U.S. Open Men's Golf Championship, one run by the USGA, was played on a nine-hole course in Newport, Rhode Island. On this date in 1927, Gutzon Borglum began sculpting Mount Rushmore. Do you remember who the four presidents are that are on Mount Rushmore? Yes, George Washington. Yes, I would say, obviously, Abraham Lincoln. Well, the other two are Thomas Jefferson and Theodore Roosevelt. So those are the four. But it was 96 years ago today that the sculpting of Mount Rushmore began. On this date in 1950, Snoopy first appeared in the Peanuts comic strip. So I guess we can say it's happy birthday to Snoopy. Happy birthday to Hooters as well. The first Hooters restaurant opened in Clearwater, Florida, back on this date in 1983. On this date in 2012, seven-time Formula One World Drivers' Champion Michael Schumacher of Germany announced his retirement from racing at the end of the season. And boy, again, one of the sad stories, and if you're not a follower of Formula One racing, Michael Schumacher went into retirement, still was a very active person. He was a skier. And a few years back, he was skiing, and he suffered a skiing accident, suffered a closed head injury. We've not seen Michael Schumacher or heard from Michael Schumacher since then. Suffered a major brain injury. He's been in intensive care basically since then. It's just a tragedy because he was a man that still had so much to give to the Formula One world. Arguably the greatest Formula One racer of all time, Michael Schumacher. But he announced his retirement 11 years ago and unfortunately has not been able to truly live a very active retirement in the last few years. Another sports note from this date in history. On this date in 2018, New England's Tom Brady became only the third NFL quarterback to record 500 career touchdown passes during a win over the Colts. And on this date, 1 year ago today, Pebbles, the world's oldest living dog, died 5 months shy of her 23rd birthday. Guinness World Records announced the Toy Fox Terrier's death. Some famous folks who are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Susan Sarandon is 77 years old today. Also, Bill Fagerbakke, he was in the sitcom Coach. Also, SpongeBob SquarePants, one of the voices, 66 years old today. Actor Jerry Minor of Community and Dr. Ken is 54. Actor Liev Schreiber is 56. He has been in many movies, including Ray Donovan, The Manchurian Candidate, and Salt. Again, Liev Schreiber is 56 years old today. Alicia Silverstone, star of Clueless and The Babysitter's Club, 47 years old today. Actor Rachel Lee Cook from She's All That, A Midsummer Night's Dream, is 44. Actor Melissa Benoist, Supergirl, and also a cast member of Glee, is 35 years old. And actor Dakota Johnson, the daughter of Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith, also star of 50 Shades of Grey, the Peanut Butter Falcon, is 34 years old today. And if you out there listening anywhere in the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, you're celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday to you from all of us to you. Some special days being celebrated today, special events. Hey, if you like cinnamon rolls, this is your day. It is Cinnamon Roll Day. It's Improve Your Office Day. It is also Walk to School Day. It is Pumpkin Seed Day. It is Golf Day, I think, because of the anniversary of the U.S. Open. It is Taco Day. How can Taco Day not be on Tuesday, right? Taco Wednesday? But it is Taco Day. It is also Vodka Day. I may pass on that one. Wednesday vodka? I don't think so. It is 10-4 Day. And if you can't figure out why it's 10-4 day, I think you could be a member of the Republican Congress. It is World Animal Day, and it is Random Acts of Poetry Day. So those are some of the special events being celebrated today. We need to take a time out. We're going to come back, have some more. I'm going to connect something happening here in Central Wisconsin and a radio personality in Central Wisconsin with Mega. We're going to do that coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Chad Holmes sitting in here on this Wednesday morning for Pat Kreitlow. Todd Alba will be joining us just past the bottom of the hour. He'll be your guest host as well on Thursday and Friday. During this time frame, we normally talk to Jennifer Vucicki. I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that here. Oh, she is here. Okay. We were having some phone issues, and I was just waiting to see if Sam could get a hold of Jen. Jennifer Vucicki, weatherology. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to hear from you. We're having some phone issues, but great to have you on board again. We've continued to be well over normal in terms of temperatures, even this morning coming into work, way above normal, very mild start here in central Wisconsin. But again, I hear a front's going to be coming through pretty soon, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it looks like that's going to start to come in today. So we'll see at least a slight chance for some showers and storms for nearly everyone today along the system. Just cloudy around west central Wisconsin, so not really expecting to see any rain chances there. Temperatures drop into the mid to upper 70s for most, a little cooler for west central Wisconsin as that cold front starts out there. Holding pretty steady where they're currently at this morning of around about the mid 60s. Continuing to cool for the second half of the work week as that cold front pushes through. Mostly sunny or becoming mostly sunny for most on Thursday. If you spot spotty rain showers around the afternoon hours for Wausau with partial sunshine developing there. Mid to low 70s otherwise for Oshkosh and the southern part of the state. Mid to upper 60s for central Wisconsin. And then still our coolest spots around Amory and Baldwin getting down into the low 60s Thursday. Friday, a chance for showers and storms across the board. Cooler with a pretty decent drop in temperatures as that cold front comes in. Mid to upper 50s once again for Oshkosh and the southern half of the state and upper 40s right around about Amory and Baldwin. For the weekend, looks like sunshine for both Saturday and Sunday, maybe a few more clouds around Baldwin on Saturday. Mid to low 50s expected from Wisconsin Rapids southwards for the weekend, slightly warmer around Richland Center on Sunday, and then upper 40s to mid 50s expected for Wausau and over towards west central Wisconsin.
Okay, well, I guess we'll get ready to get those jackets back out by the time we get to the end of the week into the weekend. But again, thanks for the information, Jen, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
No problem.
That's our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology, joins us here on Up North News each and every weekday at 7:15 to give you an update on what to expect weather-wise throughout the state of Wisconsin. I want to talk a little bit about a story I kind of touched on yesterday about here in central Wisconsin in Wausau. Last week, a very, I would say, popular radio talk show personality, Chris Conley, was arrested. And he was arrested in a case of battery and domestic abuse, was in jail for a night. He was released, pled not guilty and put back on the radio on Thursday. And again, I found that to be rather surprising that an issue such as domestic abuse and battery, he'd be allowed to be back on the radio and pontificating from his far right wing point of view. And I gave an example of a commentary he gave on Friday about God's forgiveness and how he tried to basically wipe the slate clean because God forgives. Well, I think I speak for many as well that say, yeah, God can definitely forgive. Absolutely. But you still have a responsibility here on this earth and responsibility to those of us that are living in society. And the idea that God forgives you doesn't mean that you are clear of charges that put you behind bars for a night. But nevertheless, yesterday afternoon, as we're going through all this stuff in Washington, D.C., that ultimately led to the removal of Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House, I came across a commentary again. I'm a glutton for punishment when it comes to the competition just a few blocks down the road. But actually, this commentary, when I read it, kind of crystallized to me what MAGA and conservatism in terms of the modern Republican Party is all about. Because it really, I thought, hit the nail on the head in terms of what's important to MAGAs and far-right conservatives in this country. Conley talks about, and the title of his commentary was, "Would a Shutdown Affect You?" And he may as well have said, "Would a shutdown affect me?" Because he talks about many of us, he says, many of us, including me, who prefer a distant relationship with our government. He says, "I try to avoid contact with the government like I try to avoid people with the flu, and my sight is losing." And I have to admit, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but I have to admit, when I saw that line, my thought is, well, you should have tried to avoid contact with the government a little bit more last Monday evening. Police officers are part of the government, and you had contact with the government last Monday that ultimately led you into a government facility, the Marathon County Jail, before you were returned to the airwaves on WSAU just less than 48 hours after that. But I digress. Conley continues that government contact with its citizens, which should really be thought of as government supervision, is at an all-time high. And then he put a line out that really kind of annoyed me. He says, the government contact and government supervision, you know, and then he says, and it's welcomed by some who I assume wish to be less free. No, when I think of government and having a government role in our society, it doesn't mean I'm thinking that I want to be less free, Mr. Conley. And then he gives a list of things I think that should have some government involvement in. He goes, daycare, banking, road construction, food assistance, farm policy, healthcare are just some areas where the weeds of government have grown thick. So is he saying that road construction, we shouldn't have a government part of that? I mean, all those farm policy, healthcare, food assistance, daycare, banking. It should be the Wild West when it comes to all of those. And then he had the coup de grace, in my opinion. He goes, you know how this starts. The federal government offered every school district around the country money to help run their cafeterias. The National School Lunch Act was signed by President Harry Truman in 1946. Then he asked a rhetorical question. He goes, who could possibly be opposed to hungry children? Well, the answer is Chris Conley and the MAGA Republicans. Because he goes on, that is the tentacle into our schools that gives the government the power to set policy for everything. Like being more lenient towards minority students. Again, bad thing according to Conley, being lenient towards minority students who get detention or get expelled. Then he goes to trans athletes competing in sports. Another one of those hot button issues they're trying to really push down our throats that, and again, basically throwing discrimination against part of our citizenry. And then he goes, disobedient school districts wouldn't want to lose their school cafeteria money. He goes, during government shutdowns, we're told how helpless we are. National parks are closed. Why? Because we're too incompetent to go camping on our own. Most of us know not to feed the buffalo. I mean, what garbage. And then he goes, if a government shutdown impacts you, this is a great time to examine your relationship with the government. For everything that you are dependent on the government for, you are that much less free. If you can shrug your shoulders and say, oh, really, the government is shut down, I hardly noticed, that's where you want to be. So the bottom line was that Conley, like many of the MAGAs, was against the deal that actually kept the government open. And number two, the big picture item that I got out of this, again, that crystallizes what the MAGA movement and what conservative Republicanism is now, is how does it affect me? Many, many, many other people could be helped by a certain program. Many, many, many people could be hurt if the government was shut down, and many things that occur when a government shutdown happens that hurts people. But if you're like Chris Conley, WSAU Radio, WASA morning show co-host, man that was arrested last week for domestic abuse and battery and put back on the airways to pontificate stuff like this, less than 48 hours after he was released from jail. But for him, it's, well, if it doesn't affect me, then fine. Let all these other people go hungry. Let all these other people be hurt. That is, in a very narrow way, the definition of MAGA. Bottom line. I mean, and the idea that the Truman National School Lunch Act opened up this Pandora's box of socialism. That there would be kids that would actually get a lunch in school. That every school would have a school cafeteria that actually feeds the children. That of all the items that Mr. Conley could talk about in this story that basically said, we don't need government at all. If government shuts down, I will be fine. I mean, come on. But the one item that he picks out that is an example to him of government overreach is a school lunch program signed by Harry Truman in 1946. Is that really the kind of country that they want? Is that the kind of country that would be the best for all of its citizens? It's crazy. But that is where the far right of the Republican Party, that right now has control of the Speaker of the House race. Because whoever becomes Speaker of the House, unless somehow we get a deal between the parties, which seems unlikely at this point, but there is a veto right now with the far right of the GOP. When 10 members of the far right MAGA caucus, basically the Freedom folks, decided that they wanted to get rid of Kevin McCarthy, they were able to do it. And I talked a little bit earlier about weakness, about how weak a leader Kevin McCarthy was. But there's a weakness by everybody else in that GOP outside of the MAGAs. And to try to figure out exactly how large the MAGA caucus is right now in Washington is hard. But this commentary here in WASA by the right-wing conservative WSAU co-host Chris Conley, I thought really crystallized what MAGA is and what those of us that are not MAGAs are fighting against. That it's all about, what does this mean to me? Not what does it mean to us? What does it mean to us? What are the policies that could make us a better place to live? To make us a better country? To make us better in all ways? Not what does this do for me? So I will thank Chris Conley for putting that in writing yesterday in his commentary. Thank you, Mr. Conley. Best of luck in your legal dealings. On that note, we're going to take a break. Todd Albo will be coming up. I'm Chad Holmes, Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News Radio on the Media Radio Network. I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. I've been with you early this week, and then I will be handing the baton off. Good relay, man. A wrong sport to talk about, but I'll be handing the baton off to Todd Alba to host this show coming up on Thursday and Friday. And right now, on a big news day, very happy to welcome in Todd Alba. Todd, good morning.
It is always great to join in chat. It's been too long. Great to be here this morning on Up North News Radio with a vacationing Pat Kreitlow, who is in the beautiful Rocky Mountains right now. He's actually enjoying fall weather while here we're finishing up summer.
Here in Earlier in the show, I was telling a story about last night. I was watching the Brewers much of the evening, and they got to the point where I felt like, man, I gotta get to bed because I gotta get up early. And I lie in bed and I turn on the radio and I'm listening to Bob Uecker. Mm-hmm. And I told the story about how you yesterday announced your all-time favorite Brewer, and right now you're wearing that Bob Uecker jersey. But the thing about it is, and I was so happy to hear you talk about Uecker the way he did, and I'm just laying there, you know, and obviously the game didn't finish the way we wanted it to last night, but the man is 89 years old, and he is still on top of his game.
Yeah.
And I've done play-by-play for sports for many years. And I think a lot of people think it's kind of easy. It's a lot more difficult than I think people realize trying to do a play-by-play on the radio, especially.
Yes.
And Bob Uecker, I could have easily transitioned to television at any point during his career, but yet he has stayed in radio. And I love radio. I would not want to be a television sports announcer because it doesn't happen unless I tell you it happened on the radio.
Exactly.
What is your connection, other than the fact that we all love Bob Uecker, we love the way he does his job, but for you to say he is your favorite Milwaukee Brewer, have that jersey, what does Uecker mean to you?
Well, I think it's because, you know, I started in radio my last year in high school because, you know, I was just a dopey kid. My mom said, get a job the summer between junior and senior high school. And so I had the audacity as a kid who was born with a speech impediment to walk into WRCO, one of our stations now here at Civic Media, and ask Ron Fruit, the station manager at the time, you know, hey, can I get a job? And he to you, whether it was pity or whatever, but he said yes. And the very first job I had on July 27th, 1987 at WRCO, and you'll appreciate this, was to engineer the Brewers games, because now it's all computerized pretty much. But back in the day, the commercials were on, for those of you who might remember, 8-track cassette tapes. There we called them carts, and there was a cart machine. And so, and when the line used to be, you know, you're listening to it was the score, I think it was, you know, Brewers 2, Cardinals nothing. You're listening to the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network. And that was the cue to pot down, they called it pot down, and turn down the knob on the board. Because if you didn't, you would get the WTMJ feed, WTMJ. And, of course, that was a no-no. He didn't want that going out in Southwest Wisconsin. So you sat there, you had to play the commercials, then pot the Brewers back up. And so that was my first real job at radio, was to sit there during a Milwaukee Brewer game when it was Uecker and Pat Hughes, who's now the play-by-play guy for the Cubs. And I guess I just endeared me to him. And I remember in spring training, he used to tell these great stories when he was working on the Mr. Belvedere television show. And he'd do Belvedere, and he's just a great guy. So I thought, well, if I get one of the current players, they could be traded away. And it seems like everybody gets Molitor or Yount as a legend player, and they're great. But I thought, well, you know, Bob Uecker doesn't get the credit he so richly deserves, and I'm a broadcast guy, so that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and again, and final point again, it's amazing to me The guy's 89 years old. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. Because even legendary announcers, I remember when Harry Carey got older, he lost his fastball coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
The fastball is still there for Uecker. It was still there for Vin Scully until he retired. We just had the anniversary. I think it was six. I can't believe it's been 6 years since Scully retired. I mean, the man, 89 years old. And that's why I want him to get to the World Series.
I know.
Wants to get to the World Series.
I would love it. And hopefully the Brewers could get it done tonight. And, of course, everybody can listen to the Brewers. If you're in Southwest Wisconsin, on WRC AM 1450 and FM 107.7. And over at Oshkosh on the eastern part of the state, WISS, Oshkosh Air Support on 98.3 FM and 1100, the big 1100 on the AM side of the dial. And for the rest of you, it is not our fault. We would love to stream the Brewers, but Major League Baseball says, no, you cannot do that. So that's why they don't stream on the Civic Media app.
I know it. Those blackout rules.
But to your point quickly, I mean, for those that don't know, what Chad does and what Philney does at WRCO, it is a talent to do play-by-play. I have done it. I am not great at it. I'm a much better color commentator guy. In college, we did Platteville Pioneer Sports, and our tagline was from my great broadcast partner, Kevin O'Connor, who did play-by-play. We said, one of these guys knows Pioneer Sports like the back of his hand. We just hope the other guy can find the stadium. And that was me. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real talent to do what you and Phil and Bob Uecker do, and then do it at 89 like Uecker does at the top of his game. Fantastic.
Real quickly, one other sports note, and unfortunately your screen did not keep Peacock up. I really enjoyed listening to you talk yesterday. I'm at my desk, I'm doing some work, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, on this day, Todd is going off on Peacock.
I was a little hot because the Badgers announced yesterday, or the Big Ten Network, that the former Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren, who's now running the Bears, might tell you
really
something.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, might tell you something about that. announced the new schedule for the Milwaukee Brewer, the Wisconsin Badgers coming up. And these games for Badger men's basketball, Tennessee, Michigan State, Ohio State, Maryland, and Indiana, only on Peacock, in addition to this Saturday's game, football game, only on Peacock. And I don't know. I understand, Chad, times are changing, but I'm still someone who likes to see sports a wide area as possible for free. And I just don't like it on pay-per-view.
No, and well, I understand not pay-per-view, that. But me too. I don't. You don't want to have to deal. Every month when I do my bills, there are enough. Right. I know we can make them automatic, but I do for the most part. But at the same time, you don't want to look at the, then you get the report from your accountant. You have 18 different things at $10.95.
Right.
It does add up, and you're still paying for the cable or the satellite, whatever you may be doing. It's not as though you can just take that away, because then if you do that, you're going to still miss stuff as well. Yeah.
Exactly. But the good news again is that listeners can stream the Badger football game and all the men's basketball games this season on the Civic Media app. You can also listen to them in RC, Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory in our stations there as well.
And Matt LaPay does a wonderful job as well. Just close your eyes and you can picture what's going on. The master at work.
Think about that, Chad. I mean, we are so fortunate to have Bob Uecker, Matt LaPay, Wayne Larrivee, I mean, some of the best people in play-by-play in sports, in my very biased opinion.
Absolutely. Well, let's go from fun and games to the headlines of the day.
Sure.
And I wanted to talk to you because yesterday, let's start with, again, the whole idea of what happened with Kevin McCarthy. How does this happen? I mean, you've been, within caucuses. Mm-hmm. How does I don't know how large the mega caucus is these days, but the ultra mega decided that they didn't want Kevin McCarthy again. And the rest of the Republican Party just sort of lays there and says, well, I guess that's what's going to happen. Put your political hat on. What does that mean politically, what's happening over there?
Well, for those that might not know before, that I was a member of the Republican Party for almost 30 years. I left the Republican Party in 2011 after voter suppression bills here in Wisconsin. But I spent a number of years working for former state senator Dale Schultz here in Wisconsin, and also worked for former United States Congressman Scott Klug for about 5 years in D.C. and Wisconsin. So that's the take, or that's where I'm coming from. I quite frankly, Chad, I think Kevin McCarthy just got over his skis. I mean, this is a guy who wanted to be Speaker of the House for years. Remember when Paul Ryan became Speaker from Wisconsin? Kevin McCarthy wanted the job and only withdrew because he could see the writing on the wall that he didn't have the votes at that time. And I mean, this is a guy who has lusted after being Speaker of the House. So, you know, we pulled up the clip yesterday when he got the job in January, where he said he was 1,000% sure that he would finish out at least his first term as Speaker. That did not age real well. But, you know, I think he, I'll give him a little credit in that had it not been for McCarthy being willing to cross over and work with Democrats, federal government would be closed right now. Our military mm-hmm. would not be getting paid. And I thought that John Dickerson from CBS had a great line yesterday. He said, Kevin McCarthy lost the speakership for the sin of working with the Democrats, but only with a mega caucus working with the Democrats. You know, I mean, all the Democrats voted to vacate the chair, and I get that. I have no problem with that because again, there was this deal to keep government running, and then Kevin McCarthy went on the air over the weekend and basically, you know, gave a political knee to the groin of Democrats and tried to and so they had no reason to help the guy out. And to your point, this is a civil war within the Republican caucus. Why should Democrats have to get their hands messy? So I mean, I think it is sad for the institution of Congress. I think it's sad for America that we have come to this point. And quite frankly, I don't know who's going to be the next speaker.
And the thing about what happened basically over the weekend is McCarthy tried to have it both ways. Mm-hmm. Number one, he did, I would say, do the right thing in terms of working with and the votes showed it with a bipartisan agreement in order to get the 45 extra days and keep the government running. But then on Sunday morning, and any chance he had to make a deal with the Democrats went away because he goes on Face the Nation and throws them under the bus. Exactly. I mean, again, it's almost as though I know that I got the MAGAs upset on the far right, so I'm going to try to make them feel better by trashing the Democrats the next day. But when you start basically lying to both sides, yeah, it shows incredible weakness, and then you have no friends, and then ultimately you're going to lose your job. He did not have the courage of, I think, his ultimate convictions, which shows a weakness.
Right.
And early in the show, I made a comparison because I very much into history. In the run-up to the Civil War, we had probably the two of the weakest presidents we've ever had before Lincoln. We had mm-hmm. Franklin Pierce, and we had James Buchanan. Mm-hmm. They tried to mollycoddle with everybody, tried yeah. to be nice to the South, tried to keep the North in line, and ultimately it doesn't work. You have to have strength in a leadership. And Kevin McCarthy was a weak leader, bottom line. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, again, anytime you have someone who puts your own personal interests ahead of other things, that's dangerous because you're really not focused on the big picture. And I think had Kevin McCarthy been more focused on what's best for the country rather than what's best on Kevin McCarthy, that he might still be Speaker. I mean, you can say what you want if people don't agree with Nancy Pelosi, but there was someone who, to your point, was a strong leader, but she mm-hmm. truly cared about what was best for the country first and foremost. You know, I'm trying to think back to, I would say that John Boehner, former Republican Speaker, a guy, whether you agreed with him or not, put the country first, you know, and did what he ended up, you know, walking away, basically got thrown on. You know, Paul Ryan, a guy here from Wisconsin, whether you agreed with his politics or not, it was never about Paul Ryan. Remember, he didn't even want to be Speaker after losing the vice presidency and had to be basically, you know, cajoled into being Speaker. And you know, after he lost the speakership, said, you know, that's it. So I think that Kevin McCarthy's obsession with the speakership is ultimately his undoing. And I also think it says a lot about the Republican caucus, the Republican Party. Again, John Dickerson was saying, you know, think about this. The two most consequential things to happen in Congress in the last 100 years was January 6th. And now for the first time in history, as a person of history, the speaker has been voted out. Never happened before. Cannon, who there's an office building named after.
Uncle Joe.
There was a vote, But he won that vote to vacate the chair. Never before has the speaker been vacated like this and thrown out in American history. And I think it shows the disarray of the current Republican Party.
And when one of the main voices is Matt Gaetz, that's scary. It's scary. Bottom line, if you're seeing Matt Gaetz making major changes and making history, I shudder just a little bit.
I mean, I wouldn't want to leave my I wouldn't want to leave my cat or dog alone with Matt Gaetz, let alone my child.
I mean, are you able to stick around for the last few minutes of the program?
For you, the world.
Well, I appreciate that because that would be a true baton handoff then at the end.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
We'll come back with Todd in a moment here on Civic Media. It's Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Chad Holmes along with Todd Albaugh. Again, I've been doing the substitute hosting here for Pat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Todd did last Friday, and he'll come back for Thursday and Friday of this week as well as we hold down the fort until our leader comes back next Monday morning. So hopefully
Tan, he's rested and ready, just like Richard Nixon. He'll be back.
Real fast. Not real fast, but let's talk about who's going to be next, because we're kind of throwing it around. And the whole idea, again, you've heard the conspiracy theories that this is, again, a plot to bring back Donald Trump. But the idea is that you don't have to be a member of the Congress to be in this position. And when you look at some of the names being thrown out there, Steve Scalise, Jim Jordan, I think,
GYM Jim Jordan. Yes.
If you want a party to have the face of Jim Jordan leading into a presidential election year, that would be great news for the Democrats. Elise Stefanik, who I think ultimately is going to be the next speaker, because she has been, she started off as a moderate Republican, but she got on the MAGA train very early and she's worked her way into the leadership. In fact, she was the one, I believe, who replaced Liz Cheney on the Republican leadership. She has been working her way up, and I think she may be the next speaker. But I want to ask you, outside of Congress, do you have an idea of maybe somebody that could come in, be some sort of semi-unifying force, because it's going to be difficult to get the votes no matter what here, because you have to get that far-right block on the Republican side. I thrown out there maybe a guy like, again, I don't think he's really the answer, but a guy like Schwarzenegger, who is a Republican, who has shown the ability to cross the aisle from time to time. But I don't really have any great ideas. Do you have ideas? And who do you think is going to ultimately get the job? And how long is it going to take?
maybe Christmas before we get a speaker. I think you're right. I mean, if we're just like, if I had to bet money, and I don't bet money on politics, I don't bet money on anything really, other than I will buy a lottery ticket for the $1.2 billion being drawn tonight. What don't you think? Are you going to buy a lottery ticket?
Real fast. Wouldn't it be funny if Kevin McCarthy won the lottery?
That'd be great. He'd like that. No, I think that if I'm a betting person, I think Elise Stefanik, like you say, probably makes the most sense in terms of being a unifying voice. Of course, Steve Scalise, the number two guy in the Republican caucus. He was shot years ago in that baseball game or softball game, congressional softball game, while Paul Ryan was speaker, recovered from that, and now he's battling blood cancer. So his health is not the greatest. I'm not sure he would take it. Yes, as Matt Flynn likes to say, GYM Jim Jordan is also considering it. As it turns out, former wrestling coaches, Republican wrestling coaches as speaker, have not worked out real well for that. Denny Hastert, of course, from Illinois, was a former wrestling coach and was speaker, and then is, I believe he's still in prison for sexual assault. I mean, we'll see how that works out for Jim Jordan. Beyond that, I mean, sure, the whole Trump thing, I think, is a fallacy. I believe that someone will put his name in. I actually do. I think somebody from the
Matt Gaetz will put his name in.
Somebody will put his name in. I would find it hard to believe that he would win, but you know what? Every time I say I would find it hard to believe, it happens. So you never know. Schwarzenegger would be great. I just don't think there's any chance, because most of that caucus now looks at him as a rhino. I mean, he helped pass fair maps and ended gerrymandering in California. I mean, you can't have somebody like that, right?
No.
From the outside world, the problem is, I think, Chad, is that there there is such a lack of trust, even within the Republican caucus. I mean, I would even say, you know, could they bring Paul Ryan back to finish out the term? But A, would he want to do it? But B, I don't even know if there's enough reasonable Republicans left in that caucus to bring a guy back like Paul Ryan or not.
And think Paul Ryan, again, you know, disagree with him on many issues, which I do. At least he has come out and said, well, I'm not coming to Milwaukee if Donald Trump is the nominee. And he is somebody that has tried to, you know, tried to get the Republicans back to a sane conservatism. And I can say that, you know, in some areas where I still disagree in multiple ways. But until this party is able to rip the Band-Aid off, which is MAGA, nothing's going to change. And I just don't see it changing at this point. I mean, we keep thinking that at some point they got to realize that they got to, you know, get their party back. But it, even with Donald Trump facing charge after charge, there's no sign of the Republican Party. And beyond the politicians in this party, what do you think the people within the country? Again, scary that more than 70 million people voted for Donald Trump. Are the people more, even more MAGA than the elected officials?
We talk about this on our show. Of course, I've heard you talk about other people on the network as well. I think the vast majority of people in Wisconsin who vote Republican, whether it's in Wausau or whether Amory or Eau Claire, La Crosse, Richland Center, you know, Southeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, in Green Bay. People who just have a Republican yard sign for their local county clerk, I don't think that those people are part of the MAGA problem. They're just good folks going to Lutheran church dinners. The problem is the leadership, Trump and the leadership of the Republican Party. You have Robin Voss and the leadership of the Republican Party here in Wisconsin. And quite frankly, and I heard you talking about the third district race earlier in the show, people like Derek Van Orten. Derek Van Orten, a congressman from the third district, is slick. I mean, he is absolutely slick. And you said this earlier. Here's a guy who was at the insurrection, is an insurrectionist, who has verbally abused teenagers in Prairie du Chien at the library, who did it again after admittedly drinking at the U.S. Capitol and abused teens then. And this is a guy who cannot be trusted. And he cleans up really well. And he wraps himself in the flag and has a golden retriever and goes to Quick Trip and tries to pawn himself off as this just normal Wisconsin guy. He is not. He is part of the extreme movement. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so there is someone who you cannot let off with a free pass just because he goes around and says, oh, I used to be a Navy SEAL. Don't be fooled by this guy. This is part of the Republican problem in this country.
What do you think about a big primary? Because you're a political guy. Yeah. And now we got four candidates in that race. And I think that is kind of a bellwether for Democrats. If you can't win that one, it makes it very difficult, I think, to get a majority. What do you think of a big crowd going after each other before they get to Derek Van Orden? Do you think that would be a positive thing for the Democrats?
You know, I think it could go either way. I'm thinking the people who are in this race all look like respectable, good people. I think they'll stick to the issues. I think if they try to make it personal and beat each other up, that's not healthy for whatever Democrat comes out of this. If I were giving advice, nobody's asking me, but if I were giving advice, I would say every one of the Democrats should keep it focused on Derek Van Orten, what he has done over his short term thus far, and also what you bring to the table. What are your ideas if you were elected? Make it negative on Van Orten, positive on yourself. And then, you know, whoever comes out of that, I think, is in good shape to take on Derek Van Orten.
Handing the baton right off to Todd Alba. He'll be in this seat the next 2 days before Pat comes back. Todd, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for keeping the seat warm, my friend. I appreciate it.
More to come. I'll be on Bull Falls Radio, Earl Ingram down in Waukesha, others as well. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.